www.ins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
Could the heat that's turning up against Israel turn out to be the beginnings of Ezekiel 38 and 39? We've got two polls that seem to show our country is going in opposite directions. Pastor Mark will talk about the creation timeline and if there's going to be peace and prosperity after the rapture as he answers our listener questions as we begin our Good Friday edition of Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, March 29th, 2024. There's good news on this Good Friday because of what we'll celebrate this weekend, and there's also good news for our Signs of the Times listeners or viewers, because you can listen or watch previous episodes wherever you want, a variety of ways to subscribe to our podcast. You can read the articles we talk about and ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. You can show your family and friends you care when you share these episodes with them. You can do all that when you visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net, or do the same when you download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to ask where they get the seeds to plant seedless watermelons is Pastor Mark, who recently went to the zoo and saw a piece of toast inside a cage. Pastor Mark asked the zookeeper why, and he told him it was bread in captivity.
Now, that was kind of corny, but good.
I know. But it was too corny. It was too good and too corny not to do.
But I still like the seed thing. Maybe even better. I still your intro jokes almost get me better. And that's, you know, where, how do you get those?
Well, I don't know. But after the podcast, I get graded. I get a report card.
Yeah,
on the show.
That's right. You opened yourself up for that one.
I sure did. Before we get into articles, we've got a couple of articles that we've pulled out of the stack. Because Pastor Mark wants to bring special focus to these things because something's happened that has never happened since Israel has been reformed as a nation in 1948. And the first article that we're going to introduce here comes from All Israel News. This is dated March 26th. The question in the article is betrayal or artificial outrage. The United States' abstention on the UNSC vote sparks debates in Israel and the world.
Yeah, again, let me read some of this. The U.S. decision to abstain from voting on the United Nations Security Council resolution, which demanded an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, without making it contingent upon the release of the Israeli hostages, sparked controversial debates over its interpretation on Tuesday. After blocking similar resolutions in the past, the U.S. on Monday abstained for the first time, note this, for the first time, allowing a UNSC, that is a UN resolution, to pass against Israel appeals amid an already deepening rift with the Israeli government. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the American decision a withdrawal from its previous positions and responded by canceling talks about alternatives to a Rafah incursion, which the U.F. officials in Washington wanted to speak about this week. An unnamed U.S. official told the Axios news outlet that the White House was puzzled by Netanyahu's position. You gotta be kidding me. Why would they be puzzled? I would expect this. You betrayed him. Accusing Netanyahu of seeking political gain. Nonsense. It's called betrayal. Judas is what that's called. The prime minister could have chosen a different course to align with the U.S., they said, on the meaning of this resolution. He chose not to, apparently for political purposes. No, he chose not to because you, like Judas, America, betrayed Israel. So we are now Judas. Here's what's going on. Look, here's the bottom line. Now, it's interesting. Notice it's there for the first time. Whenever there's been a major vote against Israel, America has always stood with them. And you can say, well, Mark, look, they abstained. They didn't vote against it. No, no, that is a vote against Israel. Let me explain. Number one, Jesus said this. If you're not for me, you are against me. It's like the person who says, well, I'm not going to receive Jesus, but I'm not going to reject him. So I really haven't, you know, turned away from him. Oh, yes, you have. If you do not receive him, Jesus said you have rejected him. And the same biblical principle is true here. If we do not stand with Israel, we have chosen to stand against Israel. And again, the Bible says in Genesis 12:3, those who bless Israel, I will bless, and those who curse Israel, I will curse. And what happened is, Greg, we're calling down curses on our nation. Our current leadership, and look, this is just the bottom line truth, I'm going to say it. Our leadership, by this action, is and other actions, is calling down the curse of God on our nation. And that's exactly what the Bible says, which means this. The moment I heard that happened, I said, all right, watch, we're going to be cursed. I don't know how the curse is going to come. I don't know when the curses will begin. Look, we already are a mess. I get that. But the reason God hasn't totally removed America from the face of the map or destroyed us in some other way, you know, by collapse or whatever, is because we have stood with the nation of Israel. And God is honoring his word. You bless Israel, I'll bless you. You curse Israel, I'll curse you, Genesis 12:3. So now we've openly come out and said, we're not going to bless Israel anymore. If the UN wants to condemn them falsely, look, first of all, when there's a war and your enemy that came in and raped and killed your women and children in the most brutal ways imaginable, you need to go get those bad guys. I recognize civilian deaths, and we're all against that. Every human on the planet is against innocents being killed, so that's a whole other issue. But it's called war. In war, people die, innocent and guilty. It's a sad reality of war. And the only way Hamas can be annihilated is by war. So they have to go in and get them. So by saying, no, you can't go finish the job, you're saying, all right. That'd be like saying, look, Al-Qaeda's in the middle of America, and we can kill everybody but the leadership in Al-Qaeda and leave them there. That means in a few years, the same thing's going to happen, but this time probably worse. We as a nation would realize we have to take out Al-Qaeda. We have to take everybody out that was involved in whatever happened to our nation, whether it be 9/11 or you name it. And again, so now Israel has their own 9/11, even worse. It's been estimated between 30,000 to 50,000 people comparison would have had to die on America's border with people coming across and raping our wives and kids. Same scale, percentage-wise. That's what happened to Israel. Yeah. And in the most brutal ways, cooking a baby in an oven while the mother was being raped in the other room. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm going to say it. People need to hear what Israel's facing, because I'm upset about this. And then they go in and they say, all right, we're going to go get the bad guys, and we have to do all of Gaza. That includes Rafah. If it was America, you better believe we'd do it. And we'd be leading the way doing it. And we'd be mad. The men of America would be mad. So now Israel does it, and oh, stop it, you're that, it's nonsense. Let them finish the job. And so the American government has already said, our president and on down has said, you know what, we're not going to stand with you, stop this, and they've started affecting their munitions supplies, and now they're saying,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, now they're saying, you know, we're not going to support you in front of the world anymore. Well, you know what, here's the bottom line. It is Jesus Christ we are betraying. It is God we are betraying. It is not anybody but God himself and Jesus Christ. We are saying, I know your word says we're supposed to bless Israel, but guess what? We're going to go right in your face and go against that. And we're going to say, we're going to abstain. And basically, if you're not for me, you're against me. And here's what happens. Now, that's the first thing that happened. Greg, you got another article. I think
I thought I did.
Okay, that's okay. Let me talk about this.
But listen, everyone knows what happened. What you're going to share, everyone's seen this on the news. Yeah.
Yeah, the bridge collapse. Let me just say this. Let me start out by saying this. Look, anytime something like this happens, conspiracy theories, guys, all over the internet and everywhere, they all start about, you know, it was Russia, it was an inside job, it was whatever, Uncle Joe, whoever. They blame everybody and their cousin. Bigfoot may have been driving the barge and slammed it into it, and a flying saucer tried to save it, but it collapsed or whatever. So I'm not going down that road. Understand that. And we want to think through these things and use wisdom and balance in everything we do. However, I have to admit, when I saw America say, we're not going to support Israel, I said, you watch. Because whenever a nation or a leader turns against Israel, things happen. We saw Rabin turn against his own nation and withdraw, you know, people, you know, again, the things he was doing by trying to give away land in Israel. And he was assassinated just hours later. I'm not saying that always happens, but I'm saying that happened. You see Ariel Sharon.
He went into a coma, right?
Ariel Sharon worked with President Bush to pull everybody out of Gaza that was there, the Jewish people, and shortly after that, he goes into a coma. We can go down the list of things that happened. These things happened to these people.
Hurricane Katrina
that happened in America. That's right. When he said, you know, bring everybody out, and they made him even go in and dig up the graves and move their dead out of Gaza. And guess what happened? In Hurricane Katrina, literally, caskets came up out of the ground from the flood, and caskets were floating down the road where the Hurricane Katrina hit. So what I'm saying is, look, I believe that whether or not it's the enemy that God is allowing to do this, or if God's making a statement, I don't know. But every time I see America openly attack Israel, something happens. Now, guys, note this. You may not have noted the timing or know the full story. It was within a few hours of that announcement that that bridge got hit and collapsed.
Am I saying the UN vote, where the U.S. abstained?
It was within a few hours that UN vote that that barge hit the bridge and it collapsed. Now, am I saying that God made the barge hit the bridge? No. Am I saying that Satan made it happen? No. Am I saying it was Russia or Ukraine or Uncle Joe? No. I'm not saying what it is. I'm just going to share something with you. Number one, I was expecting something, because I always do when I see these things happen, and we almost always see some major thing happen to America or other countries when they make a big statement against Israel. And I want to remind you guys, so what happened? I don't know. I'm not jumping into some conspiracy thing. These are articles or issues I can't ignore.
Yeah. Before you finish this, backtrack to the last bridge collapse.
That's what I was about to do.
And share that before we hit this one, because it'll make more impact.
That's exactly what I was about to do. Now, a lot of people won't know this unless you're following. For years, I have watched, because God says I'll bless those who bless Israel and I'll curse those who curse Israel. So for years, whenever anybody makes a major stand against Israel or the land of Israel, which God calls the apple of his eye, I immediately start watching, going, okay, what's going to happen? Is anything going to happen? I'm not saying it always will, but I've seen it so consistently, I expect it. And back, I forget what year it was, but Keith Ellison, he was the first Muslim that was ever elected to the U.S. Congress. Many people will remember Keith Ellison. From Minnesota. After he got elected, he came out. I'll never forget what happened. He came out and he made this announcement. I'm going to Israel, and I'm going to fight to have Israel push back to the 1947 boundaries. That is before they came in.
The 67?
No, 47.
47, okay.
He came in and said, I want them back. There's two things you'll see pushed in the news, the 67 lines and the 47 lines. He came out and said, I want the 47 lines, because what happened is after in 48, they got a certain amount of territory.
Yes.
Then they got more after 67.
Yeah.
So some go even back before the first time when they got the territory in 48. And so he came out and said, I'm going to go and do my best as your congressman to push Israel out of the territories that we believe that they're occupying, which is called Israel, I'm gonna fight my best to push them back to the 1947 line, et cetera, and get them out of the West Bank, what he calls the West Bank, but again, what the Bible calls Israel. And I'll never forget when that happened. You hear these things happen, you're like, okay, now that doesn't mean something's going to happen, and I'm not saying how it happens. I just can't ignore these things. I can't ignore it. So I'll let you figure out who's doing it and what's going on. But he made the announcement, and it was, Greg, the same day. You guys may remember a bridge collapse in Minnesota a few years back. Those of you that remember that report, a bridge collapsed in Minnesota, and I forget how many people died, and it was a bridge in Keith Ellison's district, the new congressman there, a bridge in his district collapsed. And get this, they said in the news, I wish I had the article to read right now for you. We read it on the air at that
time.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
The bridge was built in 1947, and the article said, and it broke free from the West Bank. Now, you can't make that up. You can say, oh, you're crazy. That's okay. Say whatever you want. I'll let you figure out what that means. I wrote a booklet a while back called Issues and Verses I Can't Ignore. Well, these are articles and events I can't ignore. It happened the same day. And there it is. So how you figure that out? What are the odds of the bridge being 1947? What are the odds that it broke free from his district or collapsed in his district? What are the odds that it broke free from the West Bank? If any of you guys are statisticians, I would love to hear somebody that can calculate the odds of that. Okay? Now, that was that bridge. So we see this UN vote where we vote against Israel. And I thought, oh my goodness, what have we done?
Yeah.
It's not even that God has to do it. All God has to do is say, all right, I'm not going to protect you anymore. God says, I'm not going to be your protector. I'm going to back away. When God backs away, the enemy can do whatever he wants. And all of a sudden, in less than 24 hours, again, that night at 1:30 in the morning, after that was voted on at the UN here just recently.
Yes.
At 1:30 in the morning, this barge hits the bridge collapses. Now, at first, okay, big deal. Barges hit a bridge. Accidents happened. We have pileups with cars. Planes crash. Don't get crazy on me, Mark. I'm with you. But let me finish. What are the odds of it being right up to that announcement against Israel, considering the other bridge collapse and some of the other things we've noted? And it was the Francis Scott Key Bridge, who's the one who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, which is a representation of our flag. Again, it's almost like the American flag has fallen. And there's this statement. I don't know who made it. I don't know if you want to call this chance. Okay, great. Somebody said, oh, this chance. Okay, fine. Now, here's what I challenge you to do. Find a statistician. And if there's any statisticians listening, what are the odds of that bridge being hit within just a few hours of that announcement? And it happened to be the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which represents the American flag as America stands against Israel. And in addition, what are the odds of it totally collapsing the way that it did and affecting our economy? They're already saying it's going to have a huge impact on our economy. What are the odds of that? I don't know. Could it be? It just happened? Okay, great. I'm open to that. So I'm not gonna get into aliens and Bigfoot. Trust me. But I can't ignore this stuff. Because here's what happens. When I see any people or nation turn against Israel, my eyes suddenly get real wide and I begin to watch the news. Because God said, I will curse those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. And I expected a curse. I expected it. I'm like, okay, we're going to be cursed somehow. Where's the curse going to come from? And I'm not even saying God did it. All God has to do is say, all right, I'm backing up. I'm backing up. You know, demonic realm, you're free to do what you want. But I just, again, I'll let this go after this. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know what it means, but I just can't ignore it. So there we go. Call me what you will. Say what you will. You work it out. Find your statistician. And if you get your statistician, they say, oh, this is so normal. This is very easily could have happened. This is like, you know, maybe 9 out of 10 times this would have happened within that many hours on that day with a bridge named that. Whatever. And that's fine. And you can prove me wrong by your statistician. I'd love that. I just want to know what's going on because sometimes the odds are so large and you know what God's word says, you simply can't ignore it. That was what I wanted to say on it. People have been asking about it. That's where I'm coming from. I really don't know what it means. So here's my final statement. I don't know what's going on. I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just giving you facts I can't ignore. And what I know when God says, those who bless Israel, I'll bless. And those who curse Israel, I'll curse. There you have my statement.
Okay. I'll just add to that for anyone who's a new listener and is not familiar with what we're talking about. When a nation or a leader goes in to mess with Israel or does anything against Israel or the land, that God allows something to happen as a chastisement for that action or inaction. And in this case, an abstaining is essentially an inaction. That's a vote against.
If you're not for me, you are against me.
You are against me.
Jesus said.
White House correspondent Bill Koenig wrote a book several years ago called Eye to Eye, and he chronicles in detail these types of events. So if you don't, this is just not Pastor Mark just making things up. These are documented things that have happened over time that he's talking about, and the demolition of the Francis Scott Key Bridge is just another one of those quote-unquote coincidences within 24 hours of a nation or a leader doing something against the nation of Israel. Speaking of which, we've got a couple more articles to get into on the nation of Israel. This one is from the Jerusalem Post, dated March 25th, amid Rafah criticism, Israel looking for non-American weaponry.
Yeah, again, why would they do this? Because here's what we talked about, America turning against Israel. We are bringing curses on our nation. Read the article. Israel is currently trying to find a bypass to obtain weapons and raw materials from non-American outlets to overcome the material gaps of critical combat equipment, the KAN News reported on Monday morning. KAN Cities, a security official, is claiming that the increasing criticism and delegitimization fueled by both Muslim groups and anti-Semites endanger the transfer of U.S.-backed ammunition and warfare. There's a concern that the tensions with the U.S. are stimulated by the entry of Israeli troops into Rafah alongside the humanitarian issue in Gaza. These factors will affect Americans' willingness to continue assisting Israel with the same intensity. Again, here's the bottom line. Be watching as we turn more and more away from Israel. This is not like some major announcement event like what happened at the UN and all that. However, you're watching our current leadership systematically take stands against God. And that is stands against Israel. And so you're going to see a consistent cursing more and more coming upon our nation. And I want to say this again for our new listeners who don't know me. I am not saying, and we are not saying, that Israel never messes up. And if Israel does something wrong, that we're not to call it out. We are. Or if Israel does something wrong, that God will not deal with Israel, because God will. That's not the point here. If Israel does wrong, they'll be dealt with. The point is, when Israel's doing what they need to do and what's right, we need to stand with the nation of Israel, and that's what we should be doing as a nation.
I'll take this one step further, Pastor Mark, for those that are new listeners. The whole point of end times prophecy is God fulfilling his promise and what he promised in dealing with the nation
of
Israel.
That's right.
This is the final week of the 70 weeks of Daniel. That's what end times prophecy is really all. Well, not just that, but dealing with those people that have rejected Jesus and dealing with his kids, those of us that have accepted Jesus as Lord. But primarily, as far as what the world's focus is, it's dealing with the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and I'll just, again, let me say this too. For those who would say, but God divorced Israel, so God's through with them. Yes, God did indeed say at one point he put them away and divorced them because of their persistent adultery spiritually. But he also said, I'm going to take you again as my wife.
Yes.
And the last days I'm going to restore you as my wife and as my nation. So God did, yes, but God promised to restore them. And he said, as long as the sun and moon are shining, I'm going to keep my covenant and you will be restored. It says in Jeremiah. So don't think that God is done with Israel. God is not done with Israel. I'll tell you something. The more you see people turn against Israel, the more you're going to see judgment on those nations. And eventually, Greg, as it says in Zechariah 12, God's going to cut those nations to pieces that stand against the nation of Israel.
I would stand to reason if God was done with the nation of Israel, for every action a leader or a nation took against Israel, you would think God would bless them.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of a cursing.
That's right. That's
all
a
right.
good point.
Our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated March 21st. Israel will enter Rafah even if the entire world turns on us,
including
the U.S. How prophetic of you to say this.
It really is, so, Greg, amazing to watch prophecy taking place right before our very eyes. Again, the Bible says, before I read the article, here's what the Bible says in the last days. It says that right before the Lord comes back, every nation will turn against Israel. Everybody. Now, do you see that happening right now? The world is turning against Israel. And Greg,
what a coincidence.
Israel is simply defending themselves and getting rid of the bad guys for what they did to their women and children and their nation. And the world goes, oh no, you can't do that, and that we hate you. And the whole world, even their
amazing
most trusted ally up to this point, America, is now turning against the nation of Israel, bringing curses on herself as a nation. It's exactly what God said would happen. And so, again, but what I love about Israel, this is the first time that something happened so bad since they've been a nation, so bad that they said, if the whole world stands against us, we are going to move forward. We will stand against those that attack us and those that hurt our women and children. And that's exactly what they're doing. And what America's saying, look, everybody has gathered into Rafah as they've cleared out Gaza. So rightfully so, people are concerned if you just go in there and indiscriminately bomb, you're going to kill a lot of civilians. Israel's not going to do that. Here's what they've announced. They're being very, very strategic and particular about this. They're going to go in, make the announcements about the raids they'll be doing, the bombs they'll be dropping. They're going to tell the civilian population like they've been doing from the beginning, going farther than any army has ever gone, dropping leaflets, sending messages, giving time for all the civilians to scoot to a different region. They even said they're going to try to help to get them out of there, move those that don't want to fight with Hamas to a different region. And then once the civilians are sufficiently moved that want to be moved, that have decided and made up their mind they're going to be moved, then they're going to go in and chase down Hamas. And if somebody stays there with Hamas after Israel has warned them, then the consequences they get are going to be the consequences they get. What they're saying is, we've decided to stand with Hamas. And if you decide to stand with Hamas, then you're going to go down too. And so usually what Israel does is they'll say, all right, America, if America tells us not to, we stop. If the rest of the world does, we feel the pressure, but we usually kind of keep moving. But America, the strongest nation in the world and our best friend, we try to compromise with them. This was so egregious to the nation of Israel, what happened on October 7th, that there is nothing that the best of friends could say that would stop them from going and doing what's right and getting justice against Hamas and this wicked thing that Hamas did. So all America is now putting the pressure, and Israel is saying, sorry, we don't care, we're going to do this regardless. And it's making America mad because we're prideful, we think they're supposed to obey us, like somehow we control the nation of Israel. What I'm saying is, this article makes it clear, they've made up their mind, Greg, they're going to do this, and what that's going to do is further turn the world against Israel, even their friends against them, and we're setting up this whole scene with Russia and Iran coming in, with the whole world wanting to destroy them, and yet they have one friend, and that one friend is all they need. That one friend is God Almighty and Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and he's going to intervene and wipe out those armies and cut to pieces those that stand against the nation of Israel. This is what it says in Reuters. Israel will take control of Rafah, even if it causes a rift with the United States, a senior Israeli official said on Thursday, describing the Gazan city packed with evacuees as a final Hamas bastion, harboring a quarter of the terror group's fighters. The prospect of tanks, troops storming Rafah worries Washington, which says Israel must have a plan to move more than 1 million Palestinians who have sheltered there since they were displaced. And they do have a plan, by the way. They do. And they've told America they have a plan. But they present it like they haven't. Let me go on. Prime Minister Netanyahu has pledged to ensure civilian evacuation and humanitarian aid. And America's monitoring it. They're doing it. Measures that top Israeli, maybe not Rafah yet, because they, and all the other areas, they're getting ready to do it in Rafah. Measures that top Israel aides are due to discuss in the White House in the coming days. And I quote, "We're quite confident that we can do this in a way that would be effective, not only militarily, but also on the humanitarian side," the Israeli officials said. And I go on and finish the quote, quote, "It will happen even if Israel is forced to fight alone. Even if the entire world turns on Israel, including the United States, we're going to fight until the battle's won." I say, way to go. Way to have your resolve. Fight to defend your people. Fight to stand with God and defend your nation. And let me say this again. Guys, understand, you're watching prophecy take place before your very eyes. The entire world's going to turn against them. They're going to have nowhere to turn. And what's going to happen is they're going to think, we're done. We're wiped out. The world has not only turned against us politically, but now we have our enemies coming in with Russia, Iran, Turkey, Ethiopia, Sudan, all the other nations gathering together. They're salivating to come finally wipe out the Jews, Hitler's, the final solution, whatever. And they're going to be going, maybe this is it. We're going to do our best, but maybe we're going to be wiped out. We're all done. And Greg, in their desperation, they're going to cry out to God. And the Bible says that God is going to be the only friend they need. God will supernaturally intervene. It won't be Israel's military. It won't be America's military. It won't be anybody else's military. God from heaven will supernaturally intervene and wipe out these invading armies. And when he does it, the world's going to be shocked with their mouth open and everybody silent. Israel's going to be shocked with their mouths open, everybody silent, staring at the border, what just happened. And Israel's going to go, well, the world's going to go, oh my goodness, something supernatural just happened here. And Israel's going to be saying, oh my goodness, something supernatural just happened here, and we do have a God of our nation. And the Bible says God's going to pour his spirit out on the Jewish people at that time. There's going to be multitudes saved, and it's going to begin, I believe, right somewhere around the process of the final 7 years in the Great Tribulation. So, wow, we're watching it happen. It's very exciting. I'm not excited about war. I'm not excited about death. I'm not excited about battle. These are all atrocious, horrible things in the fallen world that we live in. Never misunderstand me when I say I'm excited about that. I'm not excited about that. I'm excited that everything that the Bible says is going to happen is falling into place, because that means Jesus is about to come back and stop all wars and all death and all suffering, and we'll just have joy and peace on this earth like we've wanted for so long. It's going to be glorious.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's calmly helping us understand the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We're a weekly radio broadcast that will magically become podcast number 304, available to subscribe and listen through wherever you get your podcasts.
Magically delicious.
I'm magically
sorry.
Delicious.
I put
That's
it in there
right.
too quick. I interrupted you.
That's
I'm sorry.
Okay. And now.
You've got me.
We've got a couple of questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Lauren, enjoying Signs of the Times right here in Knoxville. Her question is, can you clarify the timeline of the rapture? If the first few years of the tribulation period are supposed to be this false sense of peace and prosperity, how would a rapture prior to that lead to this false peace? Wouldn't a rapture leave everything in chaos?
Again, another great question. I love our listeners. These are wonderful questions. The answer is, initially, yes. Long term, no. Let me explain. Yes, when the rapture takes place, it could create great chaos when suddenly millions of people disappear. But that chaos would only be for a short moment, because the Bible tells us this world leader that we call the Antichrist will quickly step on the scene and go, you know what? I know this horrible thing just happened. We have all these crashes, chaos, all the things, whether it's downed planes, cars, whatever, with people just disappearing. I have a plan. And I'm going to make everything okay. So that would be, it'd be like any other thing. A building burns down and everybody's affected immediately and there's chaos or whatever. A bomb goes off, etc. But then a little bit of time goes by. The sweepers come in. People put things in place. We'll never let this happen again, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly there's peace again. So I think there's a couple of scenarios. If it really is a thing where suddenly, you know, everything goes into chaos, it'll be very quickly brought back into order by this man with all the answers, all the charisma, all the political clout, all the spiritual power that Satan gives him, and he's going to make everything better in the world's eyes, at least they're going to think, and so it'll calm down rather quickly, and then they can move forward. Now, the other scenario could be, let's say that there's some type of a limited war that takes place, maybe a limited nuclear exchange. I'm not saying there will be. The Bible doesn't say that. But let's say you had one or two nuclear devices go off in America and different places around the world, not enough to wipe out mankind, but to take a lot of people out. Suddenly millions of people disappear. Well, everybody's going to just go, oh, that just happened because of war. Or maybe it's some virus or disease and people just die and they write it off to that. I don't know. Either way, he's going to come in with the answer. So I guess that's the long answer. The short answer is, there may be chaos, but this guy's going to make it all better real fast. And everybody's going to say, wow, follow the beast. This guy's everything. And which eventually they'll think he's so great. And he will think he's so great. He's going to declare that he's God, the Bible tells us, and make everyone take the mark of the beast.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from John, who enjoys Signs of the Times just a little north of us in Oak Ridge. His question is about a creation timeline. He says, God's creation in 6 days clearly doesn't fit with the geologic time scale I was taught in college, and I have never been able to reconcile the two. I know this is outside the purpose of Signs of the Times, but I would appreciate your help in this area.
That's a great question, John, and I don't think it's that much. It's a little bit divergent, but it's good for our questions. Yeah, look, I went through the same thing. When I got saved, I thought, wait a minute. The Bible says it happened in 6,000 years, and all these people in the universities are saying millions, so what's going on? It's amazing. When I began to do my research, I found out that how flawed, and again, when you do your homework, you'll find this. The dating methods are inextricably flawed. I mean, it's amazing. For example, I would encourage all of our listeners who want to have answers to this from scientists and actual scientific information, go to Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis and start looking up the geological time scale, look up the age of the earth. It is amazing. The scientists, the PhDs,
the flaws in carbon dating.
Look, they have dated trees, okay, saplings. And when I started doing my homework, I was shocked to find out saplings have been dated at 150,000 years old. Okay. Diamonds. Let me give you another one. Diamonds are said to be the oldest rock on the planet. They've now found helium inside of diamonds. Why is that huge? Because helium can last no longer inside any rock or object, diamonds included. It can't last any longer than 6,000 years. It has a 6,000 year shelf life and it's gone. Well, how is helium still found in diamonds when they're the oldest rock on the planet and we're millions of years old? Let me give you another one. Dinosaurs, they are now finding regularly elastic muscles.
Soft cartilage.
Yes, they're finding elastic tissue and red blood cells.
Soft marrow.
It hasn't even dried up. And people try to say, well, yeah, it's because it was buried so fast. Listen, I don't care how quick it was buried. I don't care how it died. I don't care if asteroids supposedly hit the Earth. There is no way it's millions and millions of years and you've got elastic red blood cells in the legs of Tyrannosaurus Rex. So I began to realize, how do the facts not line up with what they're saying in the universities? And here's what I found. If you do your homework, and I encourage you, if you're listening to this and you're a skeptic, which I understand, I was too, go to the science and look at it and find out, does the science and the universities really back what they're saying? Or does the science from the creationists really back what they're saying? Everybody has their worldview. Everybody has their opinions. And you're going to see that both of them are biased. Both are biased. I'm going to say it. Both are biased. However, with the bias on both sides, if you look at the fact that they're dating these saplings at 150,000 years old, that they're finding helium in diamonds, that they're finding red blood cells in stuff inside of dinosaur legs that are supposed to be millions of years old, how is that possible? You realize, wait a minute, something's not right. Now, I will say something else before we move on from this. The Earth may even be, the actual Earth itself could, you know, in some instances could be older than what it appears, et cetera, even if you did show something. Look, when Adam was created and the Earth was created, Adam was created on day one, he was probably about 30. On day one. He wasn't created as a baby and then grew to 30. He was created a full-grown man. There it was. So there was time built in to creation with Adam and Eve. There had to be. So, I would be open to saying that God built the earth with time built in because maybe that's, I'm not saying it's millions of years old. I don't believe that. My point is that we do see that time in creation, time was built in because Adam and Eve weren't babies. And we do see that the dating methods are just so flawed. I'll give one more thing and we'll move on. Carbon dating, they use carbon dating and many don't realize this. you cannot use carbon to date things any longer than the earliest 60,000 years and the latest 100,000 years. Okay, carbon dating. You can't do it. And yet, they carbon date dinosaur bones today and find carbon in them. Carbon is in the dinosaur bone. It's impossible for carbon to be in a dinosaur bone beyond 60 to 100,000 years. It can't be done. Now, here's how they explain it. I want to be fair. They say it's done by leaching. That is, as the water and the rains come down, it pushes carbon into the bones. Okay, fine. But here's the bottom line. You can only twist and turn. You can only play Twister so long when it doesn't back up your science. And I think a lot of people don't realize how solid the science for a young Earth is. And I keep saying the last thing, but I got to say one more. If you're going to believe the Bible for what it says, I don't care how you twist and turn and squint and do whatever you do, playing Twister again for the first few chapters of Genesis, it literally clearly says that God created it in six 24-hour periods, not six segments of time, six literal 24 hours. Now, you can choose not to believe the Bible. That's fine. But I'm not going there. Are you going to believe man or the word of God? And God, I choose to believe God. And if God said it was that, I'm going to believe it. I know that brings ridicule. I know people mock, but I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'd rather stand before God one day and him say to me, well done, you believe my word, than to stand before God and say, why did you believe it was millions of years when I told you it was 6 days? Well, because the science said, wait a minute, do they have all the science? Do they know more than I do? Do they know how I created? Did they not start with a fallen brain and I have a brain that's unfallen and you believe them over me? And by the way, if you do think there was millions of years on the days, you'll notice between the days there was light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. Okay, did we have millions of years of light? And then millions of years of darkness. And then millions of years of light? And then millions of years of darkness. And then millions of, you get the point. What, was the sun coming on and off like a rheostat? Again, think these things through. And here's what it forces us to do as believers. We either choose to believe the word of God, whether we understand it or not, or we choose the word of man. And I'm going to choose the word of God. Because here's the bottom line. I'll say it again. The smartest person on this planet begins their research with a fallen brain. The Bible says mankind is fallen. We have been tainted. And so you're taking a fallen brain, maybe a smart fallen brain. Einstein had a very smart fallen brain. But he still had a fallen brain. God does not have a fallen brain. He has a perfect brain. God says it in his word. I choose to believe it. And I would rather find out that I was wrong when I stand before him because I just believed his word than to stand before him and him say, why in the world did you just not believe my word? That's where I stand. And so, I would say go to Answers in Genesis. Do your homework. There is so much scientific evidence. And we don't have to be afraid of science or run from science. Go look at the scientific evidence and the facts these guys have. It will blow your mind. Look, they find dinosaur tracks in concrete, in rocks, with people feet intermingled in them. In Texas, they found dinosaur feet and people feet fossilized together. Now, how does that happen? What did dinosaurs step on it, and then millions of years later, some barefoot guy stepped in and goes, look at this. Hey, man, I found this thing. Still good after millions of years, I'm going to step in it. The evidence does not back up what these guys are trying to say. Do your homework and trust the word of God.
If you've got a question like John and Lauren, you can visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app and send Pastor Mark your prophecy or maybe just regular Bible question. All right, the Signs of the Times continues. We're going to come back and visit America here. This is a survey from ChristianHeadlines.com dated March 27th. Two-thirds of Americans believe Jesus physically rose from the dead. I got to tell you, Pastor Mark, this poll or this survey seems to go against every other survey that we've seen regarding what America thinks about God, the Bible, or anything in between.
It does, except this is interesting. You'll find that even though Americans deny, many don't believe the Bible and don't believe, well, they do believe Jesus rose from the dead. It's a very interesting thing. I think it's just the Holy Spirit puts it in our heart. God puts it in us, I rose from the dead. And even people that say I don't believe it, they really know it's true. I think the Spirit bears witness, and I think that's what's happening. The Spirit is bearing witness, although when you get away from other subjects, they won't believe the Bible, but they know that's true. Greg, I've shared with people before that say they don't believe the Bible, and then I let them read it out loud, and they suddenly believe it. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But two-thirds of Americans say they believe Jesus physically rose from the dead, with nearly half of Americans saying they strongly believe in the historical event that forms the core of Easter, according to a LifeWay Research survey. The survey found that, a survey says, 66% of Americans agree that the biblical accounts of the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus are completely accurate, and a 47% of Americans strongly agree. I'm sure that God is really pleased that America decided, you know, we really believe your word, and we believe you're resurrected from the dead. I mean, but I'm glad that that many do. But it says those who don't agree, 23% say that either somewhat or strongly disagree with that. Jeremiah Johnson said this for the early church. Johnson says a belief in the resurrection was no mere footnote, but rather a focal point. Every Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. The Lifeway story said, flowing out of this, he notes Jesus' resurrection is the central focus of our New Testament scripture. Too often, Johnson says the resurrection is underlived because it is underpreached and understudied by most pastors. The result? A significant percentage of churchgoers, even if it's the minority, don't believe in the resurrection, according to the Lifeway data. 26% of Christians associated with mainline churches don't believe Jesus resurrected. Let me just say this to the 26%. It doesn't matter what you believe. He did. And one day you're going to stand before him. You need to repent and turn your life over to Christ, because what we believe makes zero difference to what the truth is. We have to find out what the truth is and then change our beliefs to match the truth, not make our stand on what we believe and then try to make the truth fit it.
Okay. All right. Our next article comes from the Washington Post. This is dated March 22nd. Eclipse traffic has officials bracing for gridlock and flight delays.
Yeah, this is interesting to me, this whole thing about the eclipse. The reason I wanted to mention this, listen to some of this, guys. It says some cities have been planning for this influx of visitors. I get it. It's going to be, you know, people traveling to certain areas. It's going to be a little chaotic. For more than a year before this upcoming eclipse, some local governments in Texas have declared a state of emergency ahead of time. The declaration for Bell County, an area north of Austin that is bisected by Interstate 35, local population of 400,000, it's going to double in people, they say, if not triple, so state of emergency. Okay, look, I understand making plans and everybody kind of watching, but some of these guys, Greg, they're bringing in like the National Guard and setting up all this. I'm like, it's going to go dark for 2 minutes. Okay, it's been happening since the world was created. Yes, there's going to be a big traffic jam. That happens at the Super Bowl. Everybody relax. It's just odd to me to see the almost, I feel like there's an overreaction happening in some areas by our government leaders because it's going to go dark for 2 minutes and then get light again. And I know there's more to it. People are traveling in, et cetera. But do they think that during that 2 minutes, everybody's like, we got 2 minutes, man.
We got to loot in 2 minutes.
Kill everybody you can, break in every building. We got 2 minutes.
Hey,
go.
You never know.
It's just odd. This is one of the things, look, I don't know. Keep your eye on this. I don't know why the government's reacting in such a strong way, but I wanted our listeners, look, relax. It's a 2 minutes, gets a little dark, comes back up. It's cool. Everybody relax. It's going to be fine. And I just wanted just to mention it because there seems to be almost an overreaction to this in my viewpoint.
It'll be interesting to get together on the Friday after and see what comes of it.
Yeah, maybe it's going to be more than I'm thinking, and maybe it is going to be total chaos, and the whole world's going to be running around screaming with Chicken Little and the whole thing, and whatever. We'll find out.
We certainly will.
I think instead, just go out and have a little chicken, some hot wings, some ranch dressing, and enjoy. That takes our little Chicken Little. He's gone.
Pastor Mark making us hungry as we're talking about prophecy. In our growing anti-Semitism segment, this is from Fox News, dated March 20th. Israel slams arms sale ban as Trudeau caves to a minority party. Quote, unquote, history will judge Canada harshly.
Now, not only history, but eternity. And watch this now.
Okay.
Let's watch Canada.
Okay, yeah.
Watch Canada. Canada now is openly turning against Israel. Let's find out. You know, is there going to be any kind of thing where God again just backs away? I'm not saying whatever, but again, they're calling down a curse on themselves. They're saying, you know what? We're not going to support Israel. We're not going to help them. You're calling down a curse on yourself, Trudeau and Canada. Again, Canada announced it will not export weapons to Israel anymore, drawing immediate condemnation from the Israeli government. And I will add my footnote from God. It's regrettable that the Canadian government is taking a step that undermines Israel's right to self-defense against Hamas terrorists who have committed terrible crimes against humanity and against innocent Israeli civilians, including the elderly, women, and children, Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz wrote on X. History will judge, and I quote, history will judge Canada's current action harshly, Katz said. Israel will continue to fight until Hamas is destroyed and all hostages are returned home. Yeah, what about the hostages? Everybody's talking about what Israel's doing. They still got 134 people over there, some of them Americans. We don't seem to care. Our president never mentions it. Nobody talks about it. The minority left-leaning New Democrat Party, NDP, in Canada, drafted the initial motion to stop all future arms exports to Israel, but the government embraced the measure in its minority partner, the Times News of Israel reported. So again, watch Canada. Again, is there going to be some consequence? We'll see. And that may be kind of a good test stage here for this kind of thing as we talk about it, but it doesn't mean that every time somebody does something, that something happens to them as a nation. I want to be careful on that. But I do find it interesting, again, when you call down curses, it's very interesting. I do know, just by looking at here in our town, it looks like some of the Canadian geese are coming our way. So maybe they're fleeing or something. I've got a lot in my backyard that could have something to do with what Canada is doing.
Okay. All right. Pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, and Pastor Mark.
There you go.
All right. This is from CBS News, dated March 21st. South Africa water crisis sees the tap running dry across Johannesburg.
Yeah. Well, we talk about Matthew 24. There'll be famines in the last days. And again, without water, you see those kind of things happen in crisis or whatever. Now we see this happening in South Africa. It says for 2 weeks, this man, something Malloy, first name I'm not going to try to say, Sholofelo Malloy, maybe, has been among thousands
Sholofelo. Very good.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
Has been among thousands of South Africans lining up for water as the country's largest city, Johannesburg, confronts an unprecedented collapse of its water system affecting millions of people. Residents, rich and poor, have never seen a shortage of this severity. While hot weather had shrunk reservoirs, crumbling infrastructure after decades of neglect is also largely to blame. The public's frustration is a danger sign for the ruling African National Congress, whose comfortable hold on power since the end of apartheid in the 1990s faces its most serious challenge in an election year. A country already famous for its hours-long electricity shortages is now adopting a term called watershedding, the practice of going without water, from the term load shedding, or the practice of going without water. And I quote, "We are really struggling," Malloy said. "We need to cook, and the children must also attend school. We need water to wash their clothes. It is very stressful." Again, so you wonder, you know, you see these kind of things, Greg. And again, the Bible says in the last days, it's going to happen. And so I think we're watching some of that take place, and you're going to see more of this. You're going to see it in places that you normally wouldn't think you would see it. And you're going to see famines. Again, the Bible says it'll happen like a woman in birth pangs. You know, you're going to see it with the illnesses, with famines, with pestilence, et cetera. But what's interesting to me, Greg, is South Africa has been one of them, that's been attacking Israel recently.
Interesting.
They're the ones that have been pushing all these attacks against Israel and saying they're standing against Israel. I know that not all South Africa stands with them, whatever. But the bottom line is, it is interesting when you watch what they're going through and you see, again, the stand against Israel, like we've been talking about. You know, I think this would be a great time for Johannesburg, South Africa, to stand with Israel if they're having issues, because God says, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. If you curse Israel, I'll curse you. And again, the South African lawmakers, again, article here, has voted to cut ties with Israel. They've been very vocal and standing up voting against the nation of Israel recently. And so what happens? An article comes across about the troubles they're having. Again, I realize that there are famines without going against Israel.
It's a fallen world.
I know I keep repeating myself. Yeah. So I don't want people to think that every time there's some event, it's because of this. I'm not saying that. But I find it interesting. Watch the nations that are making their stands against Israel and read your headlines. You're seeing more and more of the troubles that they're having. And I think this is just the beginning of greater and greater troubles that we're going to see in America because of what we're doing. And again, very possibly some results of the promise of the curse that God promised in Genesis 12 now on South Africa. So keep your eyes open to your news channels because I think there's a link.
Just as a kind of a side question, since we have a few minutes, you know, in light of that, when we look at what's happening in our country, and we look at the fact that probably in our country, even though we have been going against Israel, outside of Israel, we're probably the nation with the largest number of pro-Israel supporters.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, okay. By far, yes.
So could you liken us to Sodom and Gomorrah when the conversation is happening with the two men. If I find only 50 faithful, will you?
Yes.
Is that the same scenario, do you think, happening in our country, Pastor Mark?
Yes. Will God protect the believers and give them favor? Yes, I believe that. The good thing, Greg, about being a believer is that God does, I believe, give us extra protection and extra care, even in a nation that's in rebellion. But here's the problem. This is what we see all through the Bible with the nation of Israel and others. When the leadership turns away from God and mocks God and whatever to God, when they do that, it brings consequences on the nation. So here's what happens. Even though you're blessed, you've got to deal with the consequences of your nation. Look, if we've been curses on America because we turned against Israel, I don't care how much how godly we are. If it affects our economy, we're going to be affected. Yeah. If it affects our food supply, we're going to be affected. Now, God promises he'll take care of us, so I know that he will, and we'll have more protection and greater blessing than others. But the reality is, we suffer with them. So when you see a nation doing that, it makes you sad and breaks your heart because you realize, now we're going to suffer because of you. And I think about the prophets crying out, Jeremiah crying out to the king, saying, look, just, you know, repent. Why are you doing this? Just, you know, if you'll just repent, and Zedekiah refusing to repent and then watching the consequences. Now, what happened was the nation fell, but God protected Jeremiah. Jeremiah was initially taken captive, and then the enemy said, hey, you're a godly man. We're going to let you go. Go wherever you want. And so God blessed Jeremiah in the long run. I believe God will bless us. But at the same time, Jeremiah still lost his home. He lost his country. He lost every, you know. So look at the consequences, but God still was faithful. I think we're going to see some of the same things in our nation in the last days.
Mm. All right, let's go to church and see an opposing poll compared to the poll that we just talked about in our America category, where 66% of Americans believed in the resurrection of Jesus. This is another poll from Breitbart.com dated March 25th. Church attendance declines among most U.S. religious groups.
Yeah, and I'm glad, because I want to talk about this for a minute, and then we have Easter to talk about, but this is great. But notice this.
We got one more article after this.
Do we?
Yeah, the one you wanted to add.
You're right. Okay, I won't pause on this one. But anyway, church, but I'm going to make a special comment on this. Let me say this. The past several years have reflected an overall decline in religious service attendance among Americans, according to the data from the Gallup. Between 2021 and 2023, 30% of Americans said they attended religious services every week. 21% almost every week, 9% almost every week, 9%. At the same time, only 11% reported attending once a month, and 56% said they seldom do, et cetera. And listen, I want to say this. I realize that there's a great convenience today in watching church online. You're in your jammies, you got your socks on, you're cozy, you know, whatever.
Yep.
You don't have to get up early, you don't have to fight the crowd. I get that. I want to strongly encourage any believers out there that are doing that to stop. Get up, get ready, and obey the Lord. Go to church. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ approaching. So don't be some and be staying home. Now look, I know there's elderly that can't help it. There's sick that can't help it. There are legitimate reasons. But this gives a good point, a reason for me to say, look, you are commanded by the Word of God to be in church. We have a large number of people that attend Calvary Chapel that are active. It shows they're doing something at Calvary Chapel that aren't coming each week. And I know that because of the numbers. And I'm not saying it because I want to have big numbers. That's not my point. I'm saying what God, I believe, put in my heart was, I need to encourage the body of Christ at Calvary Chapel and everywhere else. Don't fall into this convenient thing of just staying at home, doing church at home. I know you can. It's not the same. You need to be among God's people. The Spirit of God is different with you there. Your relationship and your companionship and communion with others is there. Your obedience to not forsake the assembly is there. And if you're doing that, what a time to say, you know what? Now I'm going to repent of that. I'm going to start by going this weekend, and I'm going to continue to go to church. And I want to add to this, going to church once a month is not regular attendance. People think that it is. You need to be fed. What if you only ate once a month? This is going to church. Look, you should be getting your spiritual meals every day when you read the Bible every day. Okay, I get that. And I'm not laying a trip on people. I'm just saying you need to be doing that to follow God. But if you only eat once a month or ever so often or do whatever, you're going to be weak. You're going to be a weak Christian. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be going to church. Don't look at convenience. Get up, get going, obey the Lord, and be blessed. And it's going to be a great thing for you and your family if you do.
It's not the will of God if it goes against the word of God. So don't believe anything that you think, well, God said it was okay. No. The Bible says not to forsake it, but here's why. And let me give further emphasis to this, Pastor Mark.
Right.
Is that that's how God molds and shapes us. He does it in four ways: through his word, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, and through church life.
Yes.
He uses one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. He uses the spiritual dynamic of koinonia as we gather together to mold and shape us and grow us.
That's right.
So don't miss an opportunity for God to do in you what he is foreordained to do.
That's right.
Don't avoid it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of obedience,
yeah,
and it's a matter of spiritual strength. Yeah. You're only going to be as strong as the meals you eat.
All right. Our last article comes from MSN.com. I'm not too sure what the date on this is. Nevertheless, Fairfax County's Board of Supervisors mocks Christians by designating Easter as Transgender Visibility Day.
Yeah, it happened this week.
Was it this week?
It was this week. Yeah, and Greg, the reason I'm doing this, look, you couldn't mock God. It's amazing. Like, it's one thing to say, I know God said he created them male and female, and this is the word of God. It's one thing to say, I don't believe the Bible, and I don't believe that it's male and female. I think it's whatever. That's one thing to say. And I think that God realizes people are lost, their eyes aren't open, they need to be saved, and God is a gracious, merciful God that works with everyone, yep, no matter where they're coming from. But when you, as an official county board, Fairfax there in Washington, when you officially come out and say, we're going to take the day that is the most holy day in eternity, it's the most holy day in eternity, where Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, again, you could make the argument that his crucifixion was the most, you know, that whole segment is the most, those 3 days, okay? Anything around that. And you take something that the Bible says is sin against God, and you elevate it to say, we're going to honor it and celebrate it on that moment, that mm-hmm. time when God is yeah. elevating the fact his son rose from the dead. There cannot be a greater mockery of God. It's one thing to be blind and not know better. It's another thing to willingly do it. And yet, you know what? God will still forgive them. God will still forgive them. You know, Greg, when Jesus was being nailed, when he was being nailed to the cross, I've got to read something in the article.
Sure.
But he was being nailed to the cross. He said this over and over. The wording shows, Father, forgive them. As they were nailing, they don't know what to do. Over and over, he kept saying that while they were nailing him. So that shows how gracious God is. But last week, Democrats at Fairfax County Board of Supervisors voted to designate Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day. Look, God will forgive them, and God loves them. But when you can only mock God to his face for so long, one day you're going to stand before the Lord, and all of us are, and we're going to give an account of what we've done with Jesus Christ. What happened with Jesus Christ right now at this time that we're celebrating? The Bible says that mankind fell in sin, and the only way that man could be saved is for God to come in human form and to spill perfect, innocent, godly blood for mankind's sins and pay for everything that we've done wrong. So God took on human form in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. He came to the earth. He lived as a man. He allowed them to abuse his body and then nailed him to a cross. And his blood on that cross, the Bible says, for anybody that will confess their sin and believe that his blood washes their sins away, the Bible says you will be forgiven and you'll be born again and you'll have your place in heaven forever after that. Then the Bible says he was put in the tomb and he resurrected 3 days later. Look, forgiveness of sins was just part one. But if Jesus hadn't resurrected from the dead, we would have all died forgiven by receiving the Lord, but we wouldn't have lived forever. So Jesus not only forgave sin, he conquered sin and death, and resurrecting from the dead 3 days later. Now, if we put our faith in him as forgiveness of sins, believe in his blood, repent of our sin, we're forgiven of sin. And then because he resurrected, we will resurrect with him and live forever in the kingdom of God. If you've not done that, what a great time for right now. If God's convicting you the first time your eyes are open, you know you're a sinner, you know you need to repent, ask God to forgive you. Tell him you believe Jesus died for you on the cross. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Tell him, I receive you, Lord. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Turn toward him and celebrate him. Tell him you believe you're resurrected from the dead. And the Bible says you will be born again and you will live forever in the kingdom of God. And again, it's always a good time to do that. It couldn't be a better time to do that at this weekend that we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord. And be praying for those people like the Fairfax County's board, whatever, supervisors. They don't know what they're doing. They're blind. They don't recognize that one day they're going to face the judgment of God if they don't repent, and we need to be praying for them to repent of their sins and turn to Christ that they might be saved. Jesus will accept them. Jesus will forgive them. Even as you right now, he will accept you, and he will forgive you if you will simply come with a pure heart and be honest with the Lord, believing in what he's done for you on the cross and then resurrecting 3 days later.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you so much. This is a great weekend for you to be in church, as Pastor Mark encouraged you. And continue on past Easter Sunday and see what God will do in and around you through your brothers and sisters and through the teaching of his word and through the worship of Jesus Christ. We hope you have a great Resurrection Sunday, and we'll see you back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times on WIAM.